At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh grubs. Welcome to episode 112 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. This episode brought to y'all by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All those seeds down there are balling, man, just like this podcast. If you want to tip a pimp on this podcast, man, I can't every time I say that,
tip
son,
a pimp.
I think of that little boy.
Yeah.
I can't wait to put him in the collage, man. I heard from his the funniest and the cutest thing in the world is hearing this little boy say, tip a pimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, y'all, if you want to, I don't know why it just struck me funny, but it just did. Man, I love little kids and, Lord bless them all. Anyway, if you want to tip a pimp, come over there to the Fountain app. Check us out. You can tip some stats, Toshi, whatever you call them things.
Yeah, you can't even pronounce it the way you invented. Stash Toshi.
Yeah. We'll just call
it.
I
can't even do it now.
We'll just call
Stash
it.
Toshi.
Yeah, there you go. Sats. That's what we'll call it. Sats. But if you want to triple up all your podcasts over there, you can check us out over there. You can also leave some questions. We're going to jump right into it, y'all. Tip of the day. Invest in brain development. Okay. This is going to seem a little contrary based on the topic today, but here's what I'm trying to use myself as something of an experiment for all of these different things. Okay, so I've been doing certain things for a while now, and I guess it's time that I reveal to the public exactly how this stuff is going. For example, I've been working on this new speed reading program, and I'm a day away from completing it, and my reading, my comprehension, and my trifocus reading method is all back in the saddle again.
Yeah.
I'm finishing a book a week.
That's good.
Doing about 30 minutes a day, broken down into 10-minute sections. That is fantastic. Part of what you do in this
is
program...
Is that part of the program is to break it up into 10-minute sections,
no,
or is
he
that
just,
you?
No, that's me exceeding what's required of me. Essentially, within that program, you read pretty much 10 minutes a day, and then you do these speed drills... where you basically spend 4 minutes, you read something in your regular comprehension. Then you read that same thing over again, but you do it in 3 minutes, then 2 minutes, then 1 minute. Then you go and time yourself for additional 2 minutes, and you will be floored at how much your speed and your comprehension have increased. But there's other things you do along as well that he encourages you to do. One of them I had already started doing by myself. I don't know how or why I came up with it, but I said, you know what, I'm going to start brushing my teeth with my left hand, just to see what it's like. Start feeding myself with my left hand. See what it's like. He suggests you learn how to juggle. So, been driving
how's
your
that
ball.
Going?
Yeah, I'm actually getting better at it. I can actually juggle 3 balls for a little bit,
yeah,
as long as I don't think about it.
Let's put Chloe in the room with you.
Yeah, she's, oh my goodness. Every time she's in that room and I'm juggling them balls, man, she's like, let one of them hit the floor and it's on.
Yep.
So, but what I'm realizing is that when I throw fasting, James at Strand Farm basically made me realize what was happening. I was like, man, now that I put in, always had intermittent fasting, but now I've been doing longer term fasting. And I've talked about that in previous episodes. But when I'm doing all that, I'm realizing, and what he was saying is that it's opening up parts of your mind. James could explain it far better than I ever could, but it's opening up part of your mind to make you expand certain avenues of thought. And I'm realizing, okay, if I read in a fasted state, my comprehension is better, everything is better.
I understand everything and it burns in my head. And then all these other things where we have these, because we're going to be talking about digital assistants today. But if you count on that solely, it's a fool's errand. I really, truly believe that. I'm doing 75 hard. I'm doing the power list. I am exceeding everything. I've never been more productive in my life. I've never been, I mean, last time I walked around at 170, I was just getting out of basic training.
Yeah.
Everything in my life is, I'm working really hard at trying to improve it so I can pass it on to the people out there, whether it's strategic fasting, whatever the case be. So what I'm encouraging everybody out there is your tip of the day, start with one little thing. You don't have to do all these things simultaneously. Drive home a different way. We talked about that before. Just try this. Try this. Just start using your left hand if you're right-handed, or you start using your other hand if you're left-handed, your right hand if you're left-handed, to do simple tasks that you do every single day.
So I did that with my toothbrush the other day.
And you poked yourself, didn't you?
I stabbed myself in the throat, but also had to go back over it with my right hand because I don't think I was doing a good job.
Exactly, because in order to get it right, you have got to... It just seems like it takes forever in a day. And then on those days where I'm like, man, I really got something I'd rather do. I need to get this done. I'm like, nope, slow down, do it right. And then so your mechanical function works a little bit better, but I'm also realizing that it drifts itself into other things that you didn't think were necessarily happening. And like also doing like these figure eight things with your non-dominant hand in front of your eye, doing what he called these other drills where you take your right arm, you grab a hold of your left earlobe and do the opposite with the other arm. And then you do squats while you're rubbing your earlobe. It seems stupid and silly. Yeah, it seems stupid and silly. Deep Wim Hof breathing, box breathing, all these things. And I am a guy that has like no spare 2 minutes to last throughout the day. Yeah. And I'm realizing that everything about myself is improving as long as I stay on this. So I know it's a long tip of the day. Invest, especially in these times. These phones have made us stupid, myself included. And so that's why I got my text messages basically turned off. I'm much to your chagrin the other day when you're trying to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
I got those things turned off because I don't need the nonstop distractions. There will be basically a 3-hour window where I will even entertain text messages. That is the biggest bane of my existence right now. Yeah. Whether it's helpful or not, it's just this nonstop barrage that I'm like, okay, I got basically this 3-hour window, and it's not all covered by that. If it can't get done, I'm not going to spend 3 hours doing text messages. That is the only time I'll take time and go through them. And if it's something I can respond to, then I'll do it then. Look, we used to get along just fine, long before. I mean, we had a house phone. Every house, if you were lucky, had a phone. There were houses that didn't have a phone. You had to catch it, whoever you were trying to get a hold of, and somehow we got along just fine. And I'm going to make myself get back to that point. I'm going to follow Ike's lead on that.
I'm sure mom and them got lost a little more often.
Yeah, but it was not uncommon. I think we were smarter when we had less of these doggone devices. So these text messages, everything else, I mean, I am going to be less responsive on those things. Now, I'm not saying I won't be responsive in terms of business or stuff like right. that. But these text messages, I remember when it first came out, I remember telling your Uncle Dion, this is the dumbest thing I ever heard. Why would you sit here and text somebody when you can sit here and pick up the phone and call?
Also realizes, it makes you realize like how many people don't do much during the day though. Yeah, even when they're at work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, I know what I, like just with what I have to do, like in the house, because outside of the house, we don't have any service. But just within the house, like, I don't know. I don't understand how people have that much time at work to compose these text messages and stuff like that. Cause it takes me a minute to think about what I'm going to write down. And some of these people are sending novels.
Or it's not just that. It's they're sending text messages that are poorly syntaxed.
Yeah.
If I got to sit here and decipher what it is you're trying to actually say, because you just ran through it, didn't check and see if it's written right, I'm not going to spend time. It used to, you asked your mom, man, there were people that would just write these run-on sentences. And I was like, what are they saying here? And I'd have to hand the phone over to your mom. And I'm like, okay, if you care so little to see that you know, this thing is at least formatted in a way that makes sense, I'm not going to spend the time to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
I just ain't got time for all this. So I'm finding out that the more I invest in my own brain and getting away from these things, the better I'm becoming because of it.
Yeah.
So
makes
I'm,
sense.
Yeah. So that's, there's going to be disappointed people out there, but it's just going to have to be what it is. I mean, I got this 3-hour block that I will even entertain those messages. And if it's not concise and simple, I'm not even going to respond. Well, so, and that's the way it's got to be. Because these things just, I'm something of a Luddite and I'm trying to be that way. And I'm going to try to get out in the nature. I just, like you said, I don't know how people spend this much time texting. I don't know how you get anything done. I really don't.
Because it requires both hands. Like, you can't do anything else in text.
You might be able to talk into that thing like I've been known to do from time to time, but...
Yeah, but then you get those crappy Simtex video or texts, and you have no idea what Dad's trying to say.
And then now when I was made aware of it, I was like, okay, this is taking way too much of my time. All right, so let's just jump right into it. Farm news? Oh, my goodness. Well, we talked about the tech stuff, so I won't get into that. Got into the book thing. Apparently, I covered a lot of that already.
Yeah, we kind of got into the farm.
Yeah, so we got into a lot of that. So, you know, the weather has been basically taking it was actually cold out there today.
What?
65?
Well, okay, yeah. It could be. There was one thing about Portland was whenever I was over there. So if you're, like, in Portland, it's about an hour away from the coast. And as you drive closer to the coast, it gets not just cooler, but it was cold. Like, whenever I went over to the coast, up to this one Cape Overlook, I couldn't really see anything because it was all foggy, and Emily was with her family, so I was doing some exploring after the compost tour. I did not bring a jacket because it was 90 degrees in Portland, and it was, like, almost 50 degrees over there by the coast.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, what did Mark Twain say? The coldest summer he ever had was in, like, San Francisco. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, he said it, of course, the way that only Mark Twain could, but...
And boy, is that water cold. The ocean water.
Oh, so you got in it?
Just my feet. That was it.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as other farm news, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about these wildfires and how it's clouding up when you got back, and I'm like, hold on a minute. It was a blue sky. And then it was like this morning, it was a blue sky.
Yep.
And then chemtrails come out and everybody's saying that it's this stuff coming from Canada. Tell me something. And I've been watching this. How is it we're getting smoke coming from Canada when the dominant wind for the last 2 weeks has been coming from the Southwest?
Huh?
How is that?
Also, it doesn't smell like smoke at all. You would think that there would be some sort of, like, smell of smoke.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody they keep talking about these wildfires. Well, I'd like to know that because as a farmer, I pay attention to the weather. And I was looking online and I was like, let me confirm this. The dominant wind overwhelmingly is coming from the Southwest. So how are we getting that straight from the North? How does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, no, I think
I think it's just another... I haven't seen these wildfires. I ain't believing nothing anymore.
Yeah.
Unless I can tangibly feel it, see it, taste it, touch it. All I know is that the wind is blowing in the wrong direction to be getting Canadian weather.
Yeah.
So how is that happening?
It's a good point. Yeah, I don't know if many people have thought about that. I haven't thought about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's not even blowing in the right direction. So every time I turn around, I'll give you a prime example. The only time... the wind was blowing from an odd direction. Most storms come from southwest to northeast when they come around here. It was the same way in Texas. And then you'll notice that from time to time, they'll do a bunch of spray chemtrailing, and then all of a sudden, the wind comes from the opposite direction. Mm. And those are always the worst storms.
Yeah.
Always the worst storms. And I'm like, okay, either one is not Canadian weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how is it coming in from here? I mean, you could say the other one going, but it happened for a brief amount of time. The dominant wind is basically, I know because I put the trees in the direction of the dominant wind.
Yeah, with and the it's graft.
Facing the graft unit is facing the southwest. So that wind is definitely our dominant wind. So how am I getting Canadian weather?
And it ain't that localized.
No. In fact, you can look at the jet stream maps And you'll find out that we're being fed a whole lot of BS, but I haven't heard anybody talk about any of that.
Hmm.
But yeah, they have been heavily, it was a blue sky. I mean, crystal clear blue. Next thing you know, the day before you got back, you're like, man, all those wildfires. I'm like, no, the dude, they were spraying nonstop.
Yeah, Dad was mad when I got back that I may have mentioned that it was wildfires.
Yeah. Well, anyway, y'all, look, coming up this weekend, we got Heritage Life Skills Conference. That's going to be down in
Waynesville,
North Carolina. I'm going to be there presenting Friday and Saturday. That's obviously this weekend, July 21st through the 23rd. And you can get information on that down below. Coming up very soon in the future, Kentucky Sustainable Living is having their, that's going to be up in Bowling Green, which another reason I can't wait to go up there is the best chiropractor on the planet. I ain't telling nobody who he is until I go there again. he's up there. The guy that actually, I remember working at the Corvette factory up there for probably 6 months. And I was a foreman on a job up there at that factory. And man, I was working 7 days a week, 12 to 16 hours a day, never had back problems in my life. And then all of a sudden I was hunkered down. He was the only guy that was able to fix me. I mean, man, he has some of these quack MDs out there. And by the way, MD doesn't stand for medical deity. They were wanting to put me in surgery for something that he was able to fix permanently. Yeah. Once he figured out I was allergic to peanuts and had no business, I was eating bags of peanuts left and right.
Yeah.
Got rid of those, and guess what? He was able to heal me, and it all went away. So, yeah, MD doesn't stand for medical deity. Anyway, I digress once again. Kentucky Sustainable Living, they're going to be doing a fundraiser. You're going to want to be there for that. And all the proceeds are going to go to Vets for Child Rescue. So definitely be there for that. We're recording early, so I don't have anything for Pastor Lon, but we'll be sure to get it in to next week's program. We'll just jump. Like we normally do, after we go from Pastor Lon, we go straight into the bad news, good news section. And the bad news right off, y'all. Okay. Yeah, this ain't going to be no surprise. So we talked about the oil, our reserves.
Right.
That basically, one of the reasons why we have what people are thinking are low gas prices, $3.50 a gallon. You ain't getting no deal, y'all. It's you're still
cheaper
getting
than Portland.
Well, $3.50 a gallon right here where we are. Well, they've been knocking out the reserves to do this.
Yeah.
At the same time, this is the news. Discern TV came out with this, that basically the oil supply is on the brink of collapse because Saudi Arabia basically slashes their production as well. Hmm. So we just basically knocked out our strategic reserves, which, by the way, isn't meant. Okay, it's called strategic for a reason.
You know, that might also be like a backup or just in case anything with Russia doesn't work out. Like the war with Russia, if that doesn't work out, they might have this other one with Saudi Arabia in the works.
You never know. I mean, all the people, the powers that shouldn't be, I mean, they get off on carnage and blood and murder and mayhem, and they really don't care how that goes. I've been going through, before I go to bed at night, I try to do something that's really enjoyable education for me, and I've been looking at the work of Colonel Fletcher Prouty. Wrote a book called The Secret Team and a number of others. Insider's Insider. He was basically the guy. If you ever watch that movie JFK, the guy, Mr. X, he was based on, the guy played by Donald Sutherland was based on Colonel Fletcher Prouty. And he basically gives you the whole nonsense about peak oil and how, and gives you the history as to how the second most prevalent substance on this planet is oil.
Yeah.
And how Kissinger and the others came up with this scheme to make everybody think that it's a depleting. We know that if we pump oil out of a hole, you come back 20 years later, it's filled back up again.
Pretty amazing.
And it's not fossil fuel. They've never found fossils below like 20,000 feet. And they're
Yeah, that on the face of it doesn't make any sense. Like what, the dinosaur just sinks after it dies?
Ever since I was a kid and they were calling it that, it never made any sense. But Colonel Prouty had talked about that this whole thing with the oil is one of the biggest scams in human history, and he was talking about it, that the Nazis knew all the way back from way back when, the abiotic oil, that the earth just produces it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not fossil fuel. They came up with the fossil fuel thing to make you think that it's a depleting, that it's something that we're going to run out of.
Yeah.
And he gives chapter and verse on how it was done by the Rockefellers, by Kissinger, and by all these other people. And it's yet again, another one of the scams we've been sold. So, no. Okay, so we'll just jump on to the good news. This one's going to be a little bit bad and good news, but check this out. A baby carried to safety by a stray dog after being abandoned in the trash in Lebanon.
Wow.
Now, you know, the people in Lebanon were appalled that this, they consider a dog a very unclean animal.
Yeah.
Mostly in that culture. And, you know, I definitely understand where they're coming from. But even they
had... Appalled by the humans, not the dog.
Well, they were appalled that an unclean animal had to... Well, no, they were appalled that somebody actually threw this baby in a dumpster.
Right.
And this dog had the presence of mind. They were applauding the dog that it had the presence of mind. And they were like, the demonic person that did this should be brought to justice. And they actually applauded the dog for actually doing it. I mean, it's just another demonstration of the depravity that's going on, but how these animals, these, you know, man's best friend, you know, you never have to worry about whether or not a dog is going to do you wrong or whatever the case may be. Oh, and yeah. Here it is, a dog that didn't know this child almost certainly jumped in the dumpster and dragged out a baby, and the baby had lacerations on it, but it's in serious condition, but it's going to recover.
Right.
But it just goes to show you, man, that there are extraordinary, incredible miracles. I call that a miracle.
Yeah.
That happened. No, that little girl's alive right now because of that.
You know, there's a weird phenomenon going on right now with like social media and uploading videos of like, I guess, acts of kindness from animals or something like that. I don't know. But there's a ton of videos being uploaded just in general right now about that type of stuff.
You know, it's part of the reason why I've always loved dolphins and whales and stuff like that. When a dolphin's around, every single shark around that thing, I mean, you hear some pretty harrowing stories of a guy's boat just went down, he's hanging on some driftwood, and then these sharks come in, they're about to do him in, they're taunting him, like, okay, it's about to go down.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, these team of dolphins roll in, and then the sharks did him out, you know. And then it have been other cases where these dolphins actually grab, you know, like, hey, grab a hold of my fin, and then they pull the guy in the shore.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're extraordinary. I've always loved these animals, man. And, you know, no documented of it. Despite the killer whale being a top predator, they have only killed people in captivity.
Until recently.
What?
They've been losing their minds up in the Pacific West Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been actively, like, hitting people's boats. They've been dragging people. They've been, I think there was one death so far, but they're like attacking. They're
not. You know why?
They're hostile now.
You know why?
Probably because the environment is just radiated and glowing and they're not reproducing. And
there you go. Fukushima has basically that. I've heard that a while back, that all these friendly killer whales, you could basically jump out in the water with them and they were cool. Now they're all of a sudden furious because they haven't had any live young since Fukushima, for the most part. None of these pods out there. And they got like a, I don't know, 100-year lifespan. Maybe I could be way off. Maybe it's 50 years or somewhere around. They're a long-lived mammal.
Aren't
highly intelligent. And they got to know they're getting aggravated because their food resources are drying up.
Yeah, what's crazy, though, is that they can, or it seems like they can, like, attribute that stuff to us. Like,
maybe they know.
Like, the environment screwed up and you're the reason it is. That's what it almost seems like.
Yeah, maybe they do know. Maybe they have a higher consciousness than we know. I truly believe that, man. When you're out there, it just breaks. I love animals. Yeah. I mean, people think, well, how can you possibly say that? You kill them all the time. No, I harvest them and I do it responsibly. And I also, do it in a way in which they don't even know it. So
we're killing less animals by doing that.
Yes. Yes. Would you? Okay. So you're a sheep and let's say you're about to go maim. Would you rather go out being, well, like you said, being taken out by a bunch of coyotes who are going to eat you before you die?
Well, that, but also look at what is required in the vegan diet. Like if you live in a temperate or arid environment and you are vegan and you are only eating the stuff that is native to your area, you're probably going to die. You know what I mean? Or you're going to become the world's best canner in the world.
Okay, find me one vegan out there. Like Mark Sisson or somebody like him said it. Find me one native vegan tribe that isn't extinct.
Yeah.
You ain't going to find it.
Yeah.
You ain't going to find it.
But look, I mean, just the amount of the agriculture required for a vegan diet, the amount of animals that die just in the cultivation of vegan food. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's the issue. Well, you're killing far more animals with commercial agriculture feeding the... Now, okay, so the rebuttal to that is commercial agriculture is for cows. Well, that's a sick system. Cows don't need commercial agriculture. They don't need feed and grains and stuff like that.
Okay, well, maybe protozoa lives matter. You know, because you're eating a whole crap load of maybe bacterial lives, maybe fungi lives, because it's on all that food you're eating, whack jobs. Yep. So, look, I mean, I guess I could have said that nicer, but I'm not going to do it.
It's not even that. You're not even putting the plant out of its misery before you eat it. You just harvest its reproductive.
You don't hear those little,
Yeah, you just harvest its reproductive glands and organs and eat those, and then you leave the plant.
Yeah, you want this animistic worldview. I mean, you know, everything's got life out there. Everything's got a conscience. So, you know, how do you drink?
How do you even drink?
How? There you go, son. So let's get into our other good news. Okay, so there's a heat wave around a lot of places in this country right now. Still don't understand why folks live in deserts, but I respect your willingness to do it. And, honestly, there's a quiet beauty out there, just kind of like where I live in the mountains.
I don't think there is a heat wave. I think that's a lie. I think that they're just making the map red, like you noticed last year. I think they're just making the map redder or giving false readings on what the temperature actually is.
Son, I would believe anything these days because, you know, it's sure as funny on my phone. There was zero chance of rain for the next 5 days. And then literally in the same day when I saw that, now it's... You mean to tell me you didn't know that 5 minutes ago?
Emily and I can be right next to each other, pull up the same weather app, and get two different readings.
Sure is curious.
Yeah.
All right, other good news. Well, it's informative news. This one here from Natural News says, how to stay cool if you lose power in a heat wave. Yeah, I know a lot of this is common sense, but let me point out one last one that's not on here. Drink lots of water, strip down, use cooling collars and towels, do personal misting, eat cool potassium-rich foods. Okay, you may not have known about that. Also, you know, that's going to be a lot of fruits and stuff like that. Move the air, use fans, seal up leaks, heat blocking curtains. Believe it or not, that makes all the difference in the world if you do have limited AC capabilities. Close the blinds. That's another one too. Something I know a lot of people for some reason don't get.
Yeah.
Remember that heat rises.
Emily, I know you're listening, so go ahead and pay attention to that part. Close the blinds.
Heat rises. Plan your schedule accordingly. Go swimming. That's a double-edged sword there because you're losing a lot of water also. It depends on what kind of swimming. Use homemade evaporative cooler. Look, here's another thing that they're not saying in here. Stay away from diuretics. Don't be drinking beer and coffee. I mean, believe it or not, that's not on the list. Don't forget your pets and livestock. Let me tell you another thing that makes all the difference in the world. Fast. Eat less. I know I've been sounding like a broken record lately.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, you use a lot of water to process food, okay? So when you can ease it on up or take or eat more vegetables or fruit that already have a high water component in them, either consider fasting for a while. That helps immeasurably. It really, really does.
After you've been working out in the heat all day, your body already kind of wants to fast. Like, not very often do I go out, work out in the heat, and then want to, like, I'm not usually starving.
That's never been, your mom's that same way. I've known a lot of people like that, but I ain't one of them until now. Mm. When I became keto adapted, when my body, because I eat about 99% keto these days, I realized that that doesn't, before, you know, the standard American diet, I'd come in, I don't care how hot it was outside, man, I'm ready to grub.
Yeah.
But now it's, I'm not ruled by my hunger. It's not anything like that.
Well, I've noticed that in you just since you started doing this fasting. That, like, before, when it was time for dad to eat, couldn't even talk to him.
No, nope. Don't even talk to me, man.
Yeah. But now it seems like you have, like, way more control over just your hunger.
Yeah, it's and then, honestly, it builds up a level of confidence when you know you can go a long, long time. Like, the other day, I just said, okay, forget it, man. I'll just make it a 36-hour fast. Didn't have time. I was too busy. Didn't take time to eat. And, but also going back to this heat thing, I'm realizing that I am way more heat tolerant because I don't require much. I really don't require much in the way of food. Now, as soon as I'm done with this 75 hard, I'll start making transitions in other ways. But hey, y'all, when we get back, we're going to drop right into the topic. Cutting it off.
for the future. Analytics they used to recruit you. Yours a painting that sets on your son's too. They don't want the individual, just a carbon copy. True spitting that man a cottage. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Let me kamikaze, get me out of body like I'm Goku.
Oh yeah, welcome back. Want to give a shout out to my man and men over at Van Tesla, Joel Thomas especially. My homeboy over there at Kill the Mockingbirds, along with Sean Chris. Hey, don't forget, before we get right into it, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, I heard the arguments out there. Oh, well, what good is the EMP Shield going to do you? You know, you can't go to the grocery store. Look, nephew, I'm just trying to get home. That's all I need to do. I need to get back to the house. And then also, your number one threat is lightning. Lots of thunderstorms rolling through as of late. More than normal, it seems.
More so far than like all the other previous years we've lived here combined. Because notably, when we first moved here, the storms were very gentle. Well, there weren't storms. It would just have like rain events and lightning and thunder in the distance. Now, it's like
on top of us every other day, it seems. Yeah, thunderstorms. But that's my number one threat. And that's what that, and check it out. If it doesn't work, if it gets past it, they're going to cover your stuff at 25 G's. There ain't nobody else. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield. They didn't reach out. I reached out to them. No advertiser. As a little side note for those that are new here, we don't take advertisers to say, hey, advertise our stuff. We don't do that. If we don't use this thing, if I didn't reach out to them, chances are, they're not on this program.
I can't think of a single person we've ever advertised that came to us and was like, hey, can you?
And just about everybody that has come to us, the answer has been no, because I don't use it.
I mean, yeah, the scenario has come up comes up multiple times a day as far as, hey, can you promote this product? But right. I mean, if I don't know if we've ever promoted one that we didn't already use or reach out to ourselves. No,
not one time did anybody, to my awareness, every single person that's ever said, hey, and we get a lot of them, like, hey, can you advertise this for whatever? Look, I don't care what you're paying. If I don't use it, if it doesn't work, I'm not about to screw up my reputation because I'm out here peddling stuff that doesn't work.
Yeah,
it means more to me than that. So anyway, didn't mean to digress once again. Let's get into, $50 off with promo code PERMA if I didn't say that already. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the tip, I was telling you, you know, get your mind on point. But right now, having digital assistance has never been easier. Let me go reach on over to my man, Jack Spirico. Had a conversation with him. It was a private conversation a while back. And, you know, he was talking to me about this ChatGPT. I didn't know what to make of it up before I talked to Jack. And believe me, he can be very persuasive because he doesn't govern anything he does on the basis of feelings. Believe me, he can be dispassionate about his decision-making. And if he stands by something, believe me, he has a strong reason as to why. And so by the time he was done talking about ChatGPT, I was like, man, it's like having another employee without the expense. And I was like, okay, let me go ahead and do this. I got off the phone with him, went ahead and installed the app. I didn't mess with it right off. And then later on, as I was looking into it, I was like, man, I kept forgetting about it. And I got this one side of me. And like I just told you about the text messages, I'm like, man, I can't go into this good night, man. I've got to fight this. I've got to keep learning. I got to work on my mind. I got to work on me. I got to work on my relationships. I got to work on all these different things. Got to work on my communication. Got to work on all this. And I feel like I'm outsourcing a pivotal and crucial part of myself. If I even open this app, that thing sat on my phone for a week and a half before I ever cracked it open. So I started testing it. And I can't tell you everything I did on it. I can't tell you every single test I did on it, but I did things that I knew the answer to, that I know very well.
Yeah.
And I did three of them. All three cases, it was wrong.
Really?
All three cases that I tried it out on when I first tried it, I wish I could remember for the life of me what exactly it was, but every single one of it was wrong. And then I said, okay, let's try some things in which I know a little bit about. And then the answer that it gave me seemed right.
Yeah.
It seemed right. And before I started this show, Go ahead and read what I asked it, son, and then read the response.
From what direction is the wind predominantly blowing in western North Carolina during the month of July? As an AI language model, I don't have access to real-time data. However, historically, during the month of July, the wind in western North Carolina has been known to predominantly blow from the south or southwest. But for up-to-date and accurate information, it's best to check with your local weather service or meteorological service.
I did that right before the show to see if it would confirm what I already knew.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm standing out. I work outside, man. Yeah. I know which way the wind's coming from. I'm paying attention to these things. And I had already done a little bit of research on my own. And I was like, okay, let me check. So there was a couple of things that it did give me some. I had it do a little bit of research for me to confirm the last video I did. I was like, okay, let me make sure my memory's on point regarding that video I did on resupply.
Right.
And then, you know, because I'm something of a history buff, I had to give the impression that I just pulled all this out of the air. I thought a little bit about it before I did the video, okay? I mean, it wasn't as lucid as it might have come off there. But, you know, I kind of had in my mind, yeah, you know, I wasn't looking at notes or anything like that. But I said, after it was all said and done, let me check with ChatGPT and see if I got the dates right.
Yeah.
And it was right. And I'm like, okay. So when I first tried this thing out, I was like, okay, it didn't get anything right. Or it said, look, I don't have enough information. Okay, I'll give you that. And then as I played with it a little bit more, I don't know if this thing, I mean, I'm so cynical these days. I'm like, okay, I did a Google search regarding these other things. Is it just telling me what I already looked at?
I think this whole AI thing, especially with ChatGPT, I think it's all necromancy. That's what I think it is. I think this is exactly what we're, because, like, do you even know where to get a spell for necromancy? Like, where would you even go to find information on how to, like, achieve any of that? But it's warned about in the Bible. So it seems like, it just seems odd that would be the type of necromancy that the Bible was referring to, whereas I think this is what it was, like, referring to. Because this is way more accessible by every single person. This definitely warrants a big warning. And yeah, I just have a hunch that this is straight up demons on the other side of this AI.
Maybe I've heard other people kind of suggest that. I don't know, but what I do know, like how Jack is using it as a research assistant and how I used it, I'm like, okay, well, there might be a fine line between necromancy and what this is doing. There might be some overlay. This may be the precursor. It may be that wet your beak before you get in, you know, all the way into it. It might be. But I will say that when I did use it to a certain extent as a means to back up information that I thought I knew or I felt pretty confident about, it was helpful. It was almost too helpful, almost scary helpful. But at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, if I had a human research assistant next to me and I said, hey, I need you to look into A, B, and C, and D, I'm not sure the results would be any different because this thing supposedly is scouring the internet for things. It's not going to give you anything truly original that, from what I can gather. It's going to give you like a whatever of whatever's out there. But when I started asking this thing about political issues, all of a sudden, or not political issues, but I'm asking certain things, let's say about climate change or, you know, gun control or whatever, you can see an obvious slant to it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it might be like what George Washington described government. George Washington said, it is a dangerous servant or a fearful master. And I think this can be the same exact thing. I don't see how there is ever going to be another kid getting out of college or high school. The second Eric Sider was the first one. Eric was talking about this long before anybody else did. Eric was telling me about this. And I said, I wrote back to Eric back then. And I said, man, I'll tell you, the first thing that popped into my mind was, tell me how there will ever be another kid ever again that will ever read a book and write a report when you know you can go to ChatGPT and have it done in a way that is nearly impossible for anybody to call plagiarism.
Yeah, Dad, I'm telling you, I think it's necromancy. I don't see any other way around it. I don't see how this could be anything else. Like, it's, yeah.
Okay, then is it any different than, let's say, your weather app?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I'm not asking the weather app to think for me. You know what I mean?
Okay, so then what other apps do you have on your phone? You have your driving app.
Let me look. I'll see if there's any other, I don't have any other apps on here that I'm asking to think for me. You know what I mean?
Like, every app is designed to think for you for the most part.
I'm not going to it and asking, like, whatever question. Now, like, I'm not going to it for, like, insight. There's a gut feeling that just feels different about this.
I know that, you know, folks, what you don't know is William always had this, I would call it a spiritual gift. Hasn't always worked perfectly, but there were times.
No, it's always worked perfectly. It's whether or not I pay attention to it.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I guess it goes that way with everybody.
Yeah.
But ever since he was a kid, I mean, real little kid, if there was something, if there was a type of music, if it was anything, I remember when you were really little, Stairway to Heaven came on. That thing wasn't a bar into the song, and you're like, Daddy, there's something wrong here.
Yeah,
something very wrong here, and I was like, "Whoa!"
But I didn't know about any of the backmasking and Stairway to Heaven. I didn't even know what backmasking was.
I mean, you might have been 4 years old at the time. I mean,
I don't think I was that young. I remember it happening though.
It wasn't just that song. You were very young, and you would just cry when that thing came. And I was like, "Oh, something's up here." And then as you got older, there was a family member you know of. And the moment you said there, what did you say about her? Like,
I don't want to reveal too much.
Yeah, don't say. But he said right off.
That might narrow it down too much.
Yeah, you get that point. But he always knew right off the bat, hey, somebody wasn't right. Or my buddy, this Russian I know, he's like, Dad, I think that guy's killed people. And he has.
I asked, how many people did
that? How many people did
he kill?
Yeah. And he was in the Russian mob. I mean, the guy, he was a good guy when he wasn't killing people. But I mean, he was kind of a hitman or something like it. That's a whole nother story altogether, y'all. It's a different life altogether.
Met him at an arcade.
Yeah.
Of all places.
Yeah. I mean, he was a bruiser, but man, this is why I got a big affection. Every Russian, I know a lot of Russians, or I've known a lot of Russians, always an incredible sense of humor, incredibly witty, and very, very smart people. A little rough around the collar for most Americans, but man, I always dug him. Anyway, he always had this knack. So of knowing, not all the time, like, well, maybe you did notice it, but like I said, there have been times you clearly, well, I felt like you've probably not seen it every time. And, you know, you're not always going to get it right when you don't trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. We always don't know. Or we don't listen to that small voice that the Lord's telling us, and we make mistakes sometimes. But when I'm starting to respect your judgment. I'd like to hit up Granny because I know she's built that way too. I want to hit. Yeah, I'm gonna at least take into strong account.
I can tell you how Granny's gonna react.
Yeah,
I can tell you.
Turn next. Yeah, but no, I want to. When you're telling me that you feel like there's something darker here. And that's the example I said to Jack Spearco. I was like, man, do you feel like this might be the Ring of Mordor?
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly the words I said to him. And he's like, and then he made a very unimpeachable case, as only he can, saying, look, man, it could be that if you don't use it right.
I think I just figured out what the feeling is with me. Emails, messages, like we're constantly being sent just like modes of communication, whether it be from like a human or just like computer generated like emails and stuff like that. And the computer generated emails are getting really good at mimicking what like human behavior is like, but you still get like a gut feeling like, okay, this is computer generated, or this was sent to me by an actual human or like an entity or of some sort. That ChatGPT stuff, it doesn't feel like I Googled something and then results popped up. It feels like I asked a question and an entity responded.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like, here's your results. It's here's what I think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if nothing else, it seems like it might be gearing you up to be very comfortable with having this very human conversation.
Right.
And you can believe and some of the things I've heard from other people, broadcasters out there, is that as incredible as this thing is, it is not even the beginning of a fraction of what they already do have.
Yeah. Like that D-Wave computer.
D-Wave, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. D-Wave, go check it out. Jordy Rhodes. I can't remember exactly how he pronounces it. Go check that video out there, and it'll put you on your heels as far as some of the predictions.
Or the latest thing that people were just talking about. Like, somebody asked ChatGPT or one of those AI things, like, how to make bioweapons, basically. And it gave that kid 40,000 different compounds that kid can make that would create a bioweapon.
Yeah, we're definitely in some strange territory here. But as far as finding usefulness with this thing, folks, I'm going to lean into this with a whole lot of caution. That's why I started the show the way I did. Man, I know that people like Elon Musk and some of the others are saying, look, if you don't get on board with this, you're going to be like a Neanderthal. Well, I guess that's just how I'm going to have to go out.
It's like
I ain't about to be enhanced with nothing.
Technology enhanced Akashic record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost, yeah. I could definitely see that. But, you know, we look at this old architecture, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when, you know, in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, looking back, and if you read the book of Enoch and you read all these other things that Tony was talking about just on the last program.
They haven't seen that yet. That interview. Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it just came out yesterday. If you listen to that, I firmly believe that there was a technology that far surpassed anything we have right now. I mean, far past it. If you just look at some of these incredible megalithic structures, we today cannot reproduce any of these. The ones at Sacsayhuaman or Teotihuacan and some of these others, we can't even reproduce them. So it leads me to believe that maybe during the times of Noah, that maybe this golden age, as it were really kicking off, or maybe it was times before then, who even knows? But I wonder if this hive mind was part of what Nimrod was trying to do. Is this the way it was during the time? Yeah, I can't help but wonder that. And I wonder if these little niceties and these things that make our lives simpler, I don't see more intelligent people around me these days.
No.
I don't see people that know how to use their hands to make or do anything. That honestly, if things were to just stop moving tomorrow, look, I'm going to be out there with William Forston tomorrow. I think if the wheels stopped by EMP today, 90% of America would be dead in a year.
I wonder if we could go record a podcast with them.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what my man will be down for, what is available. I mean, usually for things like this, man, I tend not to mess with other people there because right. I know they're usually swamped. But if the opportunity, I would love to ask him a few questions. But, I mean, going back to this main AI topic, y'all, I know a lot of us, especially judging by the demographic here, you're going to have kids that are going to mess with this thing. But, man, I just remember that quote from George Washington, it can be a dangerous servant or a fearful master. Anything else you want to add to this, son?
I would just give the warning of stay clear from it. I mean, I wouldn't even download it on your phone. I don't know what it's... I'm more concerned about people's souls with this, I think. I think that's the biggest danger that I see with it.
You may have a doggone point there, son. So, folks, I mean, if you got thoughts on this, let us know about it. This is stuff that we can't... People are coming up with ideas for gardening apps and stuff like that that do this version also, which ChatGPT I think already does.
By the way, if you Google or you use like a garden AI thing or something like that, and it gives you an answer other than fix your soil, it's wrong.
Bam. That said, y'all, we'll get to the Q&A. He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster.
Speaking of AI, Joel just got done rapping about it. Neural net, got a chip for your brain, Elon Musk.
Well, how about that?
Perfectly timed.
Yeah, perfectly timed. This segment of the show brought to you by Harvest Right Freeze Dryers, y'all. They're running a real good special right now. So, make sure you use our link to get over there. It helps us a great deal. So, into your Q&A. We don't have a whole lot. I think broadcasting on Tuesday kind of threw a few things out of whack.
Yeah.
Go ahead, son.
Got one from B. Lynn. Thanks for the B-Day wishes. What a husband. Now I know who that was. I didn't realize B. Lynn was the person we shouted her birthday out for.
Yeah.
That was cool. Well, happy birthday, B. Lynn.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so happy birthday. Hey, Billy, just experienced my first chicken processing the other day. It was a good learning experience, but I now know what you mean by the people that do this on a regular basis, there was definitely something strange about them. Nice people, but they looked like they were just kind of going through the motions. There's more here, but that's from Matthew. Yeah, that's the problem. And Marjorie Wildcraft makes a pretty good convincing case too, that when you process every single day, it changes something in you. If it ever gets to the point where it doesn't feel sacred, then you're probably doing it a little bit too much. That's at least my barometer. This is why I choose not to do. Yeah, I mean, if it's something like chickens, believe me, it's more aggravating to do, even though I'm done much quicker doing a bunch of chickens than it is a pig. I'm taking 50 lives to one pig's life.
Yeah.
And that can be hard on you. In fact, some of the best, most restful sleep you ever have is when you do a chicken butchery, because I don't know, metaphysically, I think it takes something out of you.
Yeah, it does. I definitely agree. Being the resident chicken killer, I definitely agree.
Yeah, it definitely zaps a lot of your energy. I think there's something to that. And also you lose the sacredness of it. I think if you do it too much, man, you just kind of lose that connection. And I think that can be a dangerous thing. But you see a lot of 1,000-yard stares, a lot of processors.
Oh, yeah. Got one from either Jay Adams or Jadams, 6686. Pimps, I bought comfrey and planted about 6 weeks ago. I believe I planted about 4 inches deep rather than 2 inches deep. Very heavy clay with zero organic matter. So far, none of the 15 cuttings have come up. Is it just too hot or too dry? Should I dig them up and try again? Essayons, # see you in the breach.
Essayons, see you in the breach. Yeah, you're going to 4 inches is quite deep for comfrey root.
Yeah, 4 inches, that's going to probably extend how long it's going to take to pop up. 6 weeks ago, it should be up by about 6 weeks if you planted it maybe 2 inches deep, but with 4 inches, it's going to take a little bit longer. Also, you're working with the potential energy that's already in that root cutting. So you can't expend all the potential energy before it like breaks surface, if that makes sense. So, yeah, you want to stick to about 2 inches planted horizontally.
Got one from Raymond. Says, I live in Oklahoma. Is it too late to plant comfrey? Can I order roots over the phone? I'm afraid we don't do any phone orders. Yeah, we just can't do that. As far as can you plant it in Oklahoma? Absolutely. We would dig up stuff in a much hotter place in Tech. Well, not much hotter, but hotter in Texas. You're just going to just put some good mulch on it and you're going to have to keep it watered. But Oklahoma's real good comfrey country, despite all that red dirt down there.
I got one from Agatha Raisin. I'd love to follow slash support you on Patreon type format, but I don't want anything to do with Patreon. I eagerly await your next move.
Yeah, I totally understand. Right now, that's our little home away from home. We are definitely working on something else. Patreon played games before, you know. You're telling me you can't seem to figure out why I can't respond to my patrons, or they send a response and I don't get it till 3 days later.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna tell me that's some accident.
Right. Got one from the episode 110, Keep Your Enemies Closer, on the YouTube channel. And also, I need to give an update on that episode. That was accidentally recorded in 4K. Now, I don't know how it was accidentally recorded in 4K, and then the next one was recorded in 1080p. That just doesn't, like, I'd have to adjust the settings on the camera on the phone, and nobody messes with the phone except for me, and I'm the only one that, like, moves around. Like, I only record this podcast with that phone, and it got recorded in 4K, which made that file 53 gigs. So that YouTube video was not uploaded with the actual video because we'd still be waiting on it to send over. So it just has the PimpCast logo on the background.
I've had a lot of weird.
That might make sense to some people now.
Look, like I was explaining, I had a conversation with Black's Tropical Homestead, man. There is weird things going on where I've been trying to email them forever and a day, and I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? Even to record an episode with them took forever and a day because the email's not getting to them.
Yeah.
I have to literally cut and paste it. Emails that people are writing to me, they're telling me, look, man, this is the 10th time I emailed you. I'm like, bro, I never got it. It ain't in the spam folder. I don't know what to tell you. And I go back to that one where I was reaching out to those solar.
Yeah, yeah, EcoFlow.
It was EcoFlow and two other companies, and I don't care how I sent that email, they would not let it get through.
And then EcoFlow emails us, like, completely separately. They emailed us.
Recently?
No, it was about when that was going on. About time that was going on.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on, but, y'all.
Well, I guess I should read the comment that was on that YouTube video. This is from That Old Comic Smell. I'm currently sitting at the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office for work, thankfully. Maybe one day I can swing by that bakery y'all get stuff from and show them some love. That's pretty cool. Sorry you're at the Buncombe County Sheriff's Department. Sorry you're in Buncombe County. Got one from Kentucky Sustainable Living. He has a comment about the So You Want to Be a Content Creator, episode 111. He said, I hardly edit anything on my YouTube channel. It takes too much time. Keep it real.
Yeah, because Jason's a busy man. A lot of us are. Not saying there's anything wrong with editing. And some people doing YouTube get really, really good at it. But I don't have the time or bandwidth. None of us do. It has to be uber efficient. And if it isn't, then we just can't do it. I mean, because at the end of the day, I'm a farmer first.
Yeah.
I'm not a YouTuber who pretends to farm. I'm a farmer that just happens to YouTube. And there's a lot of people out there doing this work that gets it the other way around. I don't have 8 hours to spend on editing.
Yeah. Nope, we don't. That's all the comments I got, though.
All right, y'all. Hopefully, look, y'all, this is one of them weird episodes. I guess every episode as of late seems to be weird. I know in these areas, in this day where, look, these phones are so doggone ubiquitous. They make life so much easier. But please, pick up a book. Go out there, learn a new skill. Go to a conference, listen to a person, and do it without that stupid phone in your pocket. Until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.